broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Look, I think it's a matter of patriotism here as well. If you are taking home a big...
My personal opinion is that research has done an awful lot of interesting things and has helped out a lot of
people.
He
really does know that area very, very well. I believe he probably lives near all those bodies.
Look, I think it's a matter of patriotism here as well.
She indicates that she had been rear-ended.
Woody, this is assault!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass every night and take you places other talk shows can't, other talk shows won't, other talk shows shan't, other talk shows should not. And please, 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 prospective program directors and general managers out there, please don't let that scare you off. Don't let the talent on your stage, oh, don't put Phil Hendry on here, he makes us all look like we don't work. Well... Anyway, welcome to the show here. Our number is... I'm kidding. Well, am I? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to the hardest working show in all of possibly show business. As well as just starting with the basics here.
Yeah, I think it's like the whole entertainment business.
Thank you very much, bud. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. And tonight we're going to be talking about education. We have Dr. Ron Tarner in our second hour, who will be discussing the whole school lunch controversy and or not you as a parent have the right to say, I'd like to serve my child my lunch, and that's what they're going to take to school. Thank you for so very deeply for having concerns, but no, you don't get to take his lunch away and feed him what Big Brother says he should have. And in this hour, we have Justin McElroy, a 17-year-old high school junior from Los Angeles County, who, in an economic class in high school, paid homeless men, he and his mates paid homeless men to engage in dangerous stunts so they could video it, sell it, and create a revenue stream for an economics class. We'll be talking about that coming up here. Again, our number, 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. This is the strong right arm of this, Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and what we do over there. And you can hear literally thousands and thousands of backstage pass members marching lock-armed with us in making this country livable again. That's right, livable again. This country is barely livable. You can barely walk down a street without getting almost sick. Sick from the fumes of laissez-faire, sick from the fumes of non-citizenship, non-patriotism, a lack of concern for community. Well, on this radio show, I like to think we're going to change all that. All right, so go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and buy a backstage pass. That's really all I really wanted to say, and the rest of it's a lot of horse dung. Now, Justin McElroy coming up, along with Dr. Ron Tarner, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, Indianapolis, the great city of Indianapolis, WXNT, 1430 AM. And in Parkersburg, West Virginia, another fine, fine city, WVNT, 1230 AM, a brand new affiliate in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Thank you very much, folks, there in West Virginia. I want to do a remote broadcast in West Virginia one of these days, and I'm going to pull out the stops, man, you know. I want to have whatever it is they do in West Virginia, and I mean this very sincerely, whether it is a, for instance, I've seen these hillbilly festivals. I don't mean that's who lives in West Virginia now. I mean that they celebrate the old-timey days.
Yeah, they do like old-timey days.
Yeah. I want to have a broadcast right in the middle of one of those. All right. Coming up right now, though, we have Justin McElroy. Again, we're going to talk with this young man. He's a high school student, and I like to have on young people from time to time on the program so we get a perspective. We get a perspective as to what the next generation is going to think, you know, what the upcoming, what the future adults, the future leaders, the future voting majority in this country, where are they? What is their morality? Now, a video company has paid homeless men $50 to be filmed while scantily clad women punched, kicked, and whipped them. This is according to a lawsuit that was filed in a Florida court. These homeless men, represented by attorneys, have now decided that what was asked of them violated some basic right of theirs, and they're suing. And you know, I got to tell you something. I don't know how to feel about a lot of this, because on the one hand, you have individuals who are paid a wage of some kind to do something, but the degrading nature of what it was they were asked to do, that's the flip side of it. Now, do you make it illegal? I don't think so. Can you find it actionable in a civil court? Let's find out. Justin, good evening. How are you, young man?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you.
And you are a high school junior?
L.A. Canyon High School, yes, sir. And I'm also in ROTC, high school, and I do take some JC credit, community college credit right now.
Oh, are you going to graduate early?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, that I graduate at the latest middle of next year.
Well, congratulations. That's some very good and very hard work.
Thank you. I'm just hopeful, but I mean, if I don't graduate until, with the rest of the class, that'll be okay, too. But I was hoping to get to UCLA and take some business classes there, or hopefully USC.
USC has got a great business school, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, here we have a situation, though, where there are a great many, I believe, parents, and the school is backing you up. You filmed a series of what you called your revenue stream for your economics class videos for your economics class, and you also charged $50. How much did the videos cost?
No, the videos were online for $10. We paid these indigent men $50 to perform what we call 21st century or the newer what we call newer labor. And the reason why we call it that is because we realize that there's a change going on in society. A lot of the industries are going away. A lot of the old retail models are going away. A lot of the old manufacturing models are going away. How are workers in the future going to make money? And in exploring that and doing a paper on it with two partners of mine in the project, we recognized that what we needed to do was actually create a business, and in creating that business, then put those workers to work.
All right, but here's where we're getting into some problems, Justin, at least from the standpoint of parents. I know the school has backed you up 100%, and that's got a lot of people upset. You were paying homeless men yourself, or indigent men, as you say, to engage in some very dangerous activity.
Well, yes and no. I mean...
Let me just start at this. Why would you, homeless men are homeless. Homeless people are homeless people. These are people that are not, they can't really look out for themselves. For whatever reason, they're homeless. And I am not, as I said, one to tell someone what to do with their life. If we've got somebody who is sick, who needs help, someone who needs to be hospitalized, as is the case with a great deal of the homeless, then that's what needs to be done. If a man wants to, make a living, fine. But, when you ask these guys to do something that's relatively dangerous, don't you feel like you're taking advantage of them?
Well, Mr. Henry, that was a big, long question. I'm going to try and answer it.
The question's an easy one. Are you not taking advantage of these guys? You paid them $50 to do what?
Well, that would be the question I would want to answer. We paid them $50 to perform what we call a new labor model. It is a higher... The definition is of a higher sort of occupational hazard, and
But you had these guys running across a freeway, isn't that right?
Yes, sir, and
you were videoing it.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right, so you've got homeless men for $50 running across freeways.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
What time of day?
Well, it was relatively late. I should say early in the morning. It was 1 a.m.
And whereabouts?
I was on the 101 freeway in the near Encino.
So you're up on the 101 freeway, and even at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a lot of traffic, isn't there?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And what if one of these men got hit and killed?
Well, it didn't happen, and we did not anticipate that it would happen because we don't believe, and that was that was what we emphasized with our paper, we don't believe anybody's going to take money these days. Back in the olden days, they did. Because back in the olden days, they didn't have, their brains were not as, I guess you could say their brains were not as developed, their minds were not as developed.
And what do you mean by back in the olden days?
Well, we found out that people would haul wagons of nitroglycerin. They did a lot of crazy things for money back in the 19th century, which, even by today's standards, a bum is not going to, or not a bum, but I mean a homeless man is not going to do that.
And so you don't think that giving a man $50 and having him run across a freeway, you're taking advantage of him?
No, I do not, because he's an adult, and he knows what to do.
And you don't think that perhaps one of these men could be mentally ill, could be an alcoholic, anything like that?
No, sir. And I really believe, Mr. Henry, as a conservative, you should be backing me up.
And your school's backing you up.
Yes, sir, they are. They also have said to the parents, and there have been a few parents who have been complaining that they back us up 100%.
And your school is backing you up, backing up you and your friends, paying these homeless men to run across a freeway. Was there also a video where one or two of you guys was hitting them with a baseball bat or something?
No, it was a wiffle ball bat. It was not a baseball bat.
A wiffle ball bat. What were you doing with that?
We were hitting them as hard as we could with it. But you have to understand something.
A wiffle ball bat.
Yes, sir. You have to understand something. A wiffle ball bat is plastic.
And all right, I'm going to interrupt you. Why?
Because it was the quickest way for us to enhance revenue. It was the quickest way for us to find a revenue stream.
And so the quickest way for you to find a revenue stream is to go out and basically abuse people.
No, that's not how we see it, Mr. Henry. We see it as giving to individuals, giving them a chance to, you know, have... One of the men that we helped out, I saw him in a clean shirt. I saw him having breakfast over at one of the restaurants here in Northridge. Another man that we helped out, I seen him, you know, he looked pretty healthy.
And where were you finding these guys?
Well, I mean, late at night, you're going to find them in a couple of key locations on Ventura Boulevard. There's a couple of liquor stores. There's a couple of bakeries where they sleep near.
And you guys went down there and you talked to these men?
Yes, sir. And we said, do you guys want to make $50? And we got probably about a half a dozen of them. And
the wiffle ball bat that you're hitting them with is how long does that go on?
Well, I mean, you're sort of making it sound like it's we didn't hit them with a wiffle ball bat, for starters. We had our girlfriends do that.
Is that the same as these women beating up men?
No, that's not the same. That was just our girlfriends hitting them with wiffle ball bats.
I'm having a hard time justifying what you're doing, Justin. I'm having a hard time understanding that the school will back you up. I'm having a hard time believing that this is moral or responsible. I have more of an easy time thinking it's an outrageous thing to teach our young people, and forgive me for referring to you in the third person for a moment, to teach our young people that a very creative and inventive way to make money is to take people who are down on their luck, hard on their luck. You know, there was a time when these folks were riding the rails back in the 30s. These were homeless men, homeless women. What if this was going on back then?
Well, no, we wouldn't do it back then. But
why not?
Because those people were Dust Bowl farmers, and they were more like, you know, the grapes of wrath, you know, like Henry Fonda or whoever. The ones we got now are just, I mean, in a lot of ways, they are psycho, and all they want to do is run. I mean, they'll run across the freeway. You're not going to get, you know.
You're not going to get Henry Fonda to run across a freeway?
Well, no, but I mean the grapes of wrath people.
I think it's immoral, and I got to tell you something else. I would love to get somebody on from your school. And who was the teacher?
Who
was the advisor?
Well, it was our junior class advisor, Mr. Proctor.
Mr. Proctor. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Justin McElroy, a high school junior in Los Angeles who pays homeless men, he and his chums, $50 to run across a freeway. Another $50 if they let their girlfriends hit them with a wiffle ball bat. Now, that's a plastic bat. Understand this all sounds very childish, but it's extremely dangerous, can be very injurious. Even a wiffle ball bat, if you've ever been hit with one. And there are some other things we haven't brought up yet, and we're going to. Ways in which they are having these guys make money. Having these guys perform tasks so they can film it and make money. And this is for an economics class. I may be a conservative. I may be big on business. I may be a believer in America's future is the individual effort of individuals. But I do not believe you do that at the expense of people who are defenseless. No matter what the reason, 877-876-7445. Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back. And if you're on our website, philhenryshow.com, you'll see our live streaming video, if you have a backstage pass, Phil TV in HD. Here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, you also see here using a packet of Dynapep for our mic flag. And behind me is Buddy Bear. He also has his Dynapep. A sponsor of the Phil Henry Show. Now on the line with me is Justin McElroy as we continue talking about this school project, which was to find a revenue stream. Most of us call it business.
It wasn't part of our project. It wasn't part of the assignment.
What was the assignment? Was to just describe?
Yes, sir. What we decided to do is to actually go out and create the revenue stream.
All right. Now you have these homeless men, and my understanding is homeless women too.
That was not supposed to be talked about.
I'm talking about it. Homeless women too.
Yeah. There are homeless women.
And what did you have the homeless women do for $50?
Well, we were not supposed to talk about that. You were instructed not to talk about that, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, there's a funny thing, Justin. I don't really do what I'm told to do sometimes, probably a lot like you.
They removed their clothes and ran down the street. They basically streaked, you know.
And what else? Any sex acts?
No, sir.
All right, so, and you had these homeless guys, and were they not also asked at some point, were they not also asked to go on some kind of a scavenger hunt where they had to steal underwear or something?
Yeah, they were supposed to go into laundromats. I mean, I think what you're doing is you're making this sound way worse than everything that it was. They liked it. They had fun.
Did they have fun running across a freeway? I mean, look at, you know.
Mr. Henry, this is an exercise in capitalism that our our student advisor told us about, and I think what you're doing is I was told that you're a conservative and you do respect business.
I am a conservative. I do respect business. I don't believe in making money at any cost at all. I don't believe, for instance, that prostitution should be legal. I don't believe that child labor should be exploited. I don't believe, there's a lot of things I don't believe. And if children should not be exploited by law, and we have OSHA standards that instruct us to that degree, homeless, indigent, or people who are possibly mentally ill.
Well, they're adults. It's not child labor. And that mentally ill thing, I'm sorry, sir, that doesn't wash with me. It didn't wash with my school. I mean, they're just a bunch of bums. And they're
just a bunch of bums, huh? You may very well be right. You know,
they're a bunch of bums, and they need to earn their keep. And my father, as well as a lot of parents, as well as the school, has backed me up.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. A bunch of bums who need to earn their keep. We're talking with Justin McElroy about this revenue stream that he developed with his friends where they get homeless men. And you've heard about this. You've seen it happening across the country. You've seen it in the news. I'm not a bleeding heart, but do you believe this is something you want your kids to learn about capitalism with, by paying homeless people to run across freeways, beat each other up? They're hitting them with a plastic baseball bat. Here is Chrissy in Tucson. Go ahead, Chrissy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Dustin, I just was wondering, what do your parents feel about this?
My name's Justin.
Right.
Justin. Yeah, you said Dustin.
I said Justin, actually.
She said Justin.
But anyways, I was wondering, what does your parents think about the whole situation? I know you said that your father is supportive of it. What do you think that,
yeah.
What does your mom think about it?
Well, I mean, my mom is not really relevant to the conversation. You know,
why not? Why isn't your mother weighing in important?
Because she's not. I mean, she doesn't work. My father does. My father earns the keep.
So you don't think you should listen to your mother?
Not really. I mean...
Okay, well, America, there you go. You've just got your answer from the dumbest kid in America. That he
answer
doesn't think
to what?
That his mother is relevant to the situation. Son, if you didn't have your mother, you wouldn't be around.
What? Is this about women's rights or something?
No, that lady made a very good point, Chrissy. You did. Thank you. So we not only do we have him paying paying homeless people to run across freeways, he also doesn't respect his mother at all in the equation. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, back with more in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is our Patriot Hotline that we want you to call, 877-876-PHIL. You've seen the stories. To me, they are disgusting. They do not bespeak a moral society at all. What are we teaching our young people when they go out and to earn themselves money? They put videos of homeless people, indigent people, mentally ill people on YouTube by paying them $50 to beat each other up. In the case of this young man that I have in the live right now, for his economics class in high school, they had homeless men running across a freeway, naked homeless women streaking down a street. You know, before we go to phone, and I want to, and the one other thing I want to say here, young man.
Mr. Henry, if you could just, you know, not treat me like I'm stupid. I mean,
I'm not treating you like you're stupid, but I'm angry. Do you mind?
Well, I mean, I feel that I'm in the right because the school has backed us up, Mr. Tolliver.
Oh, that's fine. That's what I want to get to. The school is outrageous, absolutely outrageous. L.A. Canyon High School. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll tell you something right now. You're symptomatic of what's happening to education across this country. It's happening in every school district. It's happening public and private in the interest of somehow expanding the minds of our young people, making them more, I don't know what, socially sensitive. You've got this kid now thinking that having homeless men, possibly mentally ill men, running across a freeway, you're backing this up as fantastic tuition in the Department of Economics, in the discipline of economics. I think it's a disgrace. Now, the lady asked you, what did your father think of this? What did you say?
What lady?
The lady that I had on just a moment ago.
I said that my dad's 100% behind it, and the school is too.
And what does your mother think of it?
I already told you, Mr. Hendry.
What does your mother think of it?
I told you that my mother's opinion is not important, and the reason why
your mother's opinion is not important.
Yeah, because my mother doesn't have a job, and she has, you know, my father has worked very hard for our family, and my mother doesn't do anything, and my father has shown me what happens when you bring home a lot of money and you make a good living, and what a lot of women will do, and I've seen it myself with my own eyes, and so have my other friends. When we pay those ladies $50, they'll run down a street with no clothes on. And my dad told me that's an example of, in some cases, not all cases, in some cases, some women will do anything.
And some women will do anything. Man, you have got, your father's got you twisted around.
Mr. Henry, please, don't talk about my family. I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about your sister.
I'm not talking about your sister.
Well,
I'm not talking about your sister. I'm talking about your father telling you some women will do anything for money.
And he was right, because look what happened when we paid those ladies $50. They're all, you know, taking their clothes off, all showing us everything that there is, and then running down a street.
And what did those homeless men do? Did they not run across a freeway for money?
That's not the same as being immoral.
No, you know what? I'll tell you what immorality is. It's you, man, and it is your school. And it's any adult that backs this up. And on top of everything else, your father teaching you about women, he must, I will say this to you, Justin, maybe you're too young to hear it, but I'll say it, he must hate women. 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone caller here, Jeff in Greensboro, North Carolina. Go ahead, Jeff, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy.
Thank you, Phil.
Jeff. Yes, sir.
Young man, I don't understand how it is that you feel, you know, maybe one of these days, because it's obvious that your family has money, or you wouldn't be as stalled and as ignorant as you are. Maybe one of these days that money will run out.
The fact my father has money helped for me to have the education that I need.
I had an education as well, and I had a mother that lived at home, and my father respected my mother. And my mother raised four children at home.
Well,
so you say that your mother does absolutely nothing. I got this funny feeling you don't have a clue just how much your mother really does do.
There's a good point. There's a very good. What do you know?
Still the fact.
Well, how do you know that your father didn't slap your mom around when she got alive?
One of these days, the money may run out, and you may be living on the street. And how are you going to feel when somebody comes to you and degrades you and offers you $50 that looks like $1 million when you haven't had a meal in 3 days? And you'll do anything for that.
I'm not going to be in no position like that. I've already proven to my teachers at my school that I know how to make money.
You know how to make money by paying homeless guys $50.
I'll tell you something else.
I'm not
going to
be homeless like you.
Young man, I am not homeless, and I have raised four beautiful daughters of my own.
Well, if you're not homeless, you disrespect one of my children the way that you disrespect women.
You know what you need? You need a good kick in the butt.
What are you talking about? I asked my father, and what makes him
an authority on what's right and what's wrong? Because he's obviously a moron too.
Oh, really? You know what? My father would have you working for him as a garbage taker outer.
A garbage taker outer.
Well, you can laugh all you want, but my father has way more money than you do. And
you know what? Having money, a lot of guys amass wealth by stepping on people, stepping
I'll
over
tell you
people.
What, I'll tell
and
you
let
what,
me tell you something
you
else.
What?
It's easy come,
in
easy
this
go.
Situation,
that's
in this
mean,
situation,
easy come, easy go.
You may be very well right. Your father may have way more money than I have, but I'll tell you
yes,
what I
does.
Have. He doesn't.
My
have.
Father owns two factories.
I have happiness in my life. I have women that care about me and women that love me.
Yeah. Father's
my
wife,
my four children. And if you keep on the path that you're on, young man, you will have none of the above.
Father says that's what poor people say when they don't have money. Oh, well, I'm happy with you. And he
you know,
and
I don't worry about my light bill. My house is paid for. I earn a very good living.
There you go.
There you go.
His house is paid for. That makes him smarter than about 90% of people that own houses.
Is he smarter than you?
Yeah, he's smarter than me. I'm still paying on my mortgage. But you got to listen to people and listen to the voice of experience.
My father owns two factories. And when they gave us the assignment to go out and find a revenue stream, I went to Father and I said, what do you think? He said, it's very creative. Watch yourself. Don't get arrested. Go for it.
Your father, you know, that's another
I
thing.
Said,
you know,
don't
if the cop
get arrested meant that he knew it was wrong, that it was against the law. He said it right there in plain simple terms. Don't get arrested.
Right. And what does that make you think of your dad?
You, both of you men are trying to talk about my father, and I don't think it's right. And it's many of
them. It's important to understand something. We wouldn't have brought this up, Justin, were it not for the fact that your dad said you endorse it. And when we asked you what your mother thinks, you still won't answer.
My mother is not a part of the conversation.
Yeah, I'm asking you what your mother thinks. By the way, Jeff, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445. What does your mother think of this? You didn't ask her, did you?
She was not. I did not ask my mother because my mother has been a cause of a lot of trouble for my father. And had I asked her, my father would probably have been very angry with me.
Does your mother live with you?
Yes, she lives with me.
With your father?
Yeah.
And yet, your father doesn't want your mother weighing in on something where you're out on a freeway at night and you're paying bums to run across five lanes of traffic for $50.
Yes, sir. And we made, in the sale of the video, we made an excess of $3,500, $3,526.
And selling these things for $10 a piece.
That's correct, yeah. And I brought the spreadsheet and accounting into our class, and Mr. Bavisco, who's our economics teacher, gave me an A, okay? Gave Rick Farrell A-minus. Bobby Dumphy got an A, and Chris Sortak got an A+. We were the four that were on this. And I'm, and my father has often said, you know, Jewish people are good with money and everything, and they are. And he said, and you're not even Jewish. And I go, yeah, that's right.
And, and what did your class say about that stupid statement?
What?
You went into the classroom and said, I'm not even Jewish?
I made a note of it.
And what did your teacher say to that?
I don't remember. I think it was something along the lines of, you know, yeah, good point.
Good point! I'm telling you right now, this school that you go to, this L.A. Canyon High School, okay?
Mr. Henry, women don't know anything about money or business, so why am I supposed to go to my mom?
And now, let's get back to this other comment about how you said on your paper, and I'm not even Jewish, and your teacher said, good point.
Yes, sir.
Man, I got to find out the school.
Well, I've told you about a half a dozen times the name of it.
I know the name of it. L.A. Canyon High School. Who's your principal?
We don't have a principal.
What do you mean you don't have a principal?
Well, we have a headmaster instead.
All right, what's the name of the headmaster?
Mr. Giffen. Luke Giffen, or I believe it's Lewis Giffen.
G-I-F-F-I-N?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Who's at the? Is this a school board up there in northern L.A. County? Was it Sylmar? Where is this?
It's up in Chatsworth.
In Chatsworth?
Yes, sir.
I can't believe that this school has not been called on the carpet by parents up and down the San Fernando Valley, whoever goes to school there. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jason listening in Asheboro, North Carolina. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to call in and say I really think it's very disrespectful that your caller or your guest disrespects all women based on his father's sole experience with one woman.
Well, I don't really disrespect them all. It's just that my own personal appearance tells me that personal experience tells me that women will do. I mean,
you're
for the right amount of money.
What kind of
the right amount of money
that you
just
have?
What's that?
You're a high school student. What kind of experience do you possibly have with women other than your mother?
Well, I mean, if you know, I don't hate. I hate to say this, but how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
I'm 30.
Okay, I probably have been with more women than you. But
well, what's that got to do with anything?
Exactly. What does that have to do
father
with anything?
Told me,
that doesn't show that you respect women. That just shows that you
exactly.
use women.
Well, a lot of women like that.
Look at kid, you know, Justin, this is...
I like being called kid.
Look at, I want to ask you something. The experience you have with women, you think you have real experience with women?
I'm happily married.
Well, I'm asking this young man, what kind of experience do you think you have with women?
Father has often said that if you spread enough money around, women will pretty much do it.
Do whatever you want, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, a certain kind of woman, yes. A certain kind of woman, yes. A certain kind of men, you spread enough money around, they'll do that.
Well, I mean, I know that. And so when we seen these homeless women, we went ahead and flashed, you know, I flashed a couple of, I had a couple of grants, you know.
What does that mean, you had a couple of grants?
Ulysses Grants.
Is that a $100 bill?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a $100 bill. Has this gentleman I'm talking to, sir, have you ever seen a $100 bill?
Yes,
no.
I actually have. I
no,
represent
you haven't.
Women. I represent
no.
women and men on a daily basis. I'm a union president. That's what I do for a living. I represent
no,
people.
No, I know.
Right.
I know, but have you ever seen a $100 bill? No, you haven't.
Constantly.
Okay. How do you know whether he's seen a $100 bill?
I mean, seen a $100 bill. Where,
let me ask you, have you ever earned a $100 bill? Have you actually ever put in any type of labor to earn a $100 bill other than exploiting homeless people?
It's selling our videos. Selling our videos. We had to fulfill those. And we needed a fulfillment room, and I used our garage.
And so you went out and fulfilled
homes. What do you do for a living?
Well, right now I'm in high school. I'm in high school.
Do you don't think
I'm in high school?
Just have to work?
What?
You don't think I'm
father
students?
No.
Yeah, why would you have to work?
My parents told me that as long as my grades are up, I don't have to work until I go to college. So I don't work, but I did earn money. You know, we earned about $3,523 and I think, I don't know, 87 cents on the bum, or not bums, but...
I don't want them called bums, you understand?
Well,
Well, you treat them like bums. Why wouldn't you want them called bums?
Well, it's called Bum Dodge. It was called Bum Dodgeball. And
that was the name of the video, Bum Dodgeball.
Yeah.
And that's them running across the freeway.
Yes, sir.
So you exploit them, but you don't want them called negative names. I mean, that makes complete sense.
I don't want them. I think they should be called bum. I think Mr. Henry doesn't want them to be called bum.
I don't want them to be called bum. I don't think it's a... I think it is a pejorative term. Thanks very much, Jason, for your phone call. 877-876-7445. We're going to take a break right now.
Wait a minute, Mr. Henry. You're always going to take a break every time that I want to... say something.
We're taking a break right now, and we'll get back to you in a second.
Well, I think that the wrong impression's been left about bum dodgeball because there's no ball.
I understand there's no ball. It's homeless men running across a freeway, folks. There, you want to get the real scoop on it? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is an absolute disgrace, and I'll tell you something right now, tomorrow, when, you know, whenever things open up, offices across the country, I'm calling that school. I will have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard as well call the school, and we'll get to the bottom of their support of these young men who have been paying homeless people to engage in dangerous activities so that they can video it and sell it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me is Justin McElroy, a student at L.A. Canyon High School. They're going to get a phone call from me, and I'm sure from many of our listeners tomorrow, when we find out whatever their numbers are. They are encouraging and endorsing this young man and other young people in an economics class to create their own revenue streams. This lad that I'm talking to right now, Justin McElroy, went out with his friends and videotaped homeless men and homeless women engaged in a variety of dangerous stunts, streaking, running across freeways, being hit with wiffle ball bats, so on and so forth. Now,
I wanted to...
No, hold on for just a second. Your father has taught you that women are somehow expendable?
Father has simply said, Mr. Henry, that women have... Yes, if they're given enough money, they will basically... As Father has said, they'll spread for anything that...
Hold on. Whoa. I don't want to hear any of this vile language. Do you love your mother?
I love my mother very much. She's a whore, but I love her.
And she's a whore?
Yes.
Has she cheated on your father?
I don't know that, sir. I'm just saying...
Then why do you call her that?
Father says that most women are that.
Most women are whores?
Yes, sir.
And you said in one of your pre-interviews, I love that old whore. Is that what you're talking to your mother?
Yes, sir. But I love her. But as Father has said so many times, women are not to be trusted because the minute you turn your back, and Father said, the minute you turn your back, you get some nail clippers in your back or something. I don't forget how.
All right, 877 nail clippers in your back, huh?
Yes, sir.
877-876-7445, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show with Justin McElroy. And I got to tell you, I feel sorry for you. Let's get to a phone call here. We have William in North Carolina. Go ahead, William. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I wanted to say that...
yes, sir.
This young man is so misguided. He needs to really understand that what he's doing is wrong. So do that to these people. I don't care if you say bums. They are people. And they have feelings. And I think that's so wrong. I don't think he has a sense of right and wrong, which is wrong with the generation that's coming up today. To think that you can do that.
Good point.
They don't have any respect. And the fact that the way he sees his mother shows that he has no respect for women at all. And I don't think...
It's just that father taught me that women will spread for anything that comes down the road.
Will you watch that language, please?
Sorry.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
He said, this young man said that father taught him to use some language.
He said that women will spread.
I don't want you to use that term.
Well, I mean, I'm simply saying that you know, I'm learning a trade. I'm learning a trade. I learned how to make money.
Yeah, but that's expensive of doing that to other people, to make a woman streak for $50 and to be the man with whatever, a plastic back. Or, you know, sometimes people, no matter what kind of decisions they make, they're still people and they still should be valued. There should be no respect.
Very good. Good point, sir. Very good point, sir. Thank you for your call. That was William. Let's go over here to Melissa. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Melissa, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I don't think this young man has disrespect for women. I think he has disrespect for all of the human race, excluding him and his father. That's what
That's not really true. I do respect people, women, not so much, but only because of the things that your species has done.
Your species? I'm the same species as you, as a matter of fact. So
well, no, you're not. No, you're not.
Your father is changed.
You're a different species.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
My personal opinion is that research has done an awful lot of interesting things and has helped out a lot of people.
I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
What's that about?
Who cares, man? It worked, baby. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And if you're watching our show in HD, high-definition TV, high-definition webcasting right now, you'll notice in the backdrop we have a Nazi propaganda movie, which Bud wanted to see. Right, Bud?
Yeah, I want to see something about a bird, or Nurburgring. It's called Nuremberg.
Nuremberg, right. Nurburgring.
I don't know.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Head over there, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video. Our archives are, we are almost finished with 2001. We are almost finished with correcting all of those busted links and having all of our character clips ready for your download. Everything will be downloadable from our archives. That means thousands of hours of radio. And then, of course, we're going to fill out all the show logs. So this has been an extensive job. It's been a job that no one else has done anywhere in radio. We're the only radio show that is fully cataloged, fully archived, our radio show. And why have we done that? Because our radio show, unlike most, is worth saving. I mean,
you're right about that, man.
I'm telling you the truth. Of course I'm right. Our radio show, unlike most, is worth archiving and saving. So we have done the very hard work that ordinarily would be done by a broadcast museum, but we ain't got no broadcast museums around here lately, none that you'd recognize. So we're doing it. So head over to philhendryshow.com and see history being made. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, this story is one that we talked about yesterday on the show, last night on the show, and I'm going to tell you something. It really, really got my, as we like to say, it got my dander up. If ever there was something, in the American political landscape that should have us all locking arms and marching straight over the tops of the bodies of school administrators, I say that in the most figurative sense, of course, and liberal politicians, it's the story of the school lunch and the perversion that it's becoming. That's right, I said the perversion. Who would have ever thought that something as simple as a school lunch would be the cause of strife and disagreement between parents and schools? Students who attend Chicago's Little Village Academy Public School get nothing but nutritional tough love during their lunch period each day. The students can either eat the cafeteria food or go hungry. Why? Because you're not allowed to bring your food in from home as a student. And why is that? Because the school, in all of its wisdom, cannot trust that you, Mom, or you, Dad, are packing a healthy enough lunch for your child. Now, this is not optional. this is the way it's going to be. They figure that even if you are a loving parent and you're a parent, you care about your children, you're still going to give them nothing but slop to eat. They think that you're going to give them fattening sandwiches or cake. Who knows what they think? Here is Principal Elsa Carmona. She said, quote, nutrition-wise, it's better for the children to eat at the school. It's about the excellent quality of the food that we serve, and it's milk versus Coke. Milk versus Coke. So, meaning you, Mom, you, Dad, you give your kids change to pump into a machine, and coming out of that machine will be a Coca-Cola, not something that is going to be good for that child. Now, on the line with us from Cloverdale, California, or excuse me, Colorado, Cloverdale, Colorado, which is where the Mountain Meadow Observatory is, and I don't know if you got a radio on there, Dr. Ron Turner. Dr. Turner, how are you doing?
I feel like very good. If you want, I could turn this radio down. And
yeah, I would appreciate that a little bit because we've got a little bit of interference there. I know that that's probably a little bit better. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I'm heading over to a teacher's seminar here at the school district, and then we're returning. I'll be actually returning back to the observatory next week.
Have you finished doing the fill-in?
No, I'll be back late in the week to help with a little bit more of the teacher substitution that they've asked me to do. But it's, you know, as I said, we have a meeting on these school lunches. And we feel, you know, that I got to disagree with you.
All right, well, we'll get into that. You agree that the schools should be allowing the schools should be dictating to parents.
Well, Phil, before we get into that, I don't think they're dictating anything. I think what they're saying to the parents is that we have invested a lot of money into a school lunch program. We know what is healthy for the children to eat, and we've decided that we're going to implement a policy where the children are going to eat healthy foods that are served them in the school cafeteria, and this food that has been brought in from the homes is simply suspect and will certainly be taken, but we are not telling them what to bring to school. And
are you at the school that you work at, Ron, are you telling these kids who bring lunch from home that they can't eat it?
No, that is not the case at all. It is subject to a review. It's subject to an individual inspection by teachers. If we look at the child's lunch and we see that it is obviously a food that will not be of a high nutritional standard, if it's food that is not quality food, if it's a lot of white bread, if it is Coca-Cola, if it's any number of those things, then obviously we confiscate the lunch.
And then what does the child do?
Well, and then we have a problem because the child is not going to have anything to eat. So that's why we have to discourage these parents, although we have fought to change that policy. And
you're going to send a child into a classroom hungry after lunchtime?
We have fought to change the policy so that at least the child could get one half the serving of what the other students get. There has to be some discouragement of bringing these lunches in if they're not nutritional. And that was the point.
All right. Dr. Ron Turner on the line with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we talk about school lunches and the fact that some schools are not allowing students to eat lunches prepared at home. Either you can't bring one with you, or in the case of where Ron Turner teaches, which is at the middle school there in Cloverdale, correct?
At the middle school and the elementary school, yes.
All right. In that case, if the lunch does not measure up to some nutritional standard, it's confiscated and the child goes hungry.
No, the child is given one half the lunch serving of the children that are on our normal program.
And what is a normal program?
Well, the normal program are children who are eating our school lunch. It's basically children of parents who get it, as opposed to the children of parents who don't get it. So that's what we call our normal program. It's a very difficult process to negotiate, Phil. We're doing the very best that we can with what we have.
You're talking about a very difficult process to negotiate. I find this very funny. So because, you know, the kid comes to school, he's got a lunch, you take it from him. Where does the lunch go?
Well, the lunch is then taken by the teachers, and we've had a buffet or some other.
So you're taking the lunch from these kids, and as you told me, and I knew what the answer would be, you're eating the lunches yourself.
And the reason for that, as I explained to you, the students are not going to do their best with this kind of food that is brought from home. As an adult male in my 40s, and the other teachers who are also well past the stage of physical development, this food is not going to injure us, at least not radically. Obviously, it's going to put some calories on it. So
you're taking this food and you're eating it?
I was hoping that you'd listen very carefully to what I'm saying. I said we lay it out as a buffet. Some of it doesn't get eaten. Some of it is literally thrown into the garbage.
And well, here is the problem that I have, Ron, and I got to tell you.
You know, I wish you wouldn't interrupt me, because there were a couple of areas that I wanted to get into.
We're
going
to have a lot of time to get into it, but here's my problem. The school says, here is the nutritional food. Your student can come to school with a lunch, but if it doesn't pass muster nutritionally, we're going to confiscate that lunch from that child, and then the child only gets one half of what the other children get for lunch who are on this so-called normal program. The lunch that's taken from that child is then laid out in a buffet for the teachers, and you say sometimes it's thrown in the garbage.
That is exactly correct. So that we are...
All right, well, you know what? That means that that child had his lunch taken from him. He gets a half of a meal, and the meal that his parents sent to school with him is thrown in the garbage.
That is exactly correct, Phil. But understand that it is a nutritionally a dangerous meal. It's nutritionally not up to standard, and it's probably a good thing that we don't eat it.
But it's laid out at a buffet where?
It's laid out at a buffet in the teacher lounge. It's something that was an idea of mine and Bob Fordham, who is one of the coaches, and we said rather than take the lunches and throw them into a dumpster, let's bring them to the teacher's lounge. And a lot of it is heatable macaroni and cheese, peanut butter sandwiches, some soups thermoses.
What's wrong with the soups?
Nothing's wrong with the soups.
Well, then why were they taken from the children?
Well, in conjunction with the other foods. You understand that the soup, in conjunction with a piece of pie, the soup, in conjunction with a macaroni and cheese entree, that lowers the entire value of the lunch.
And so the whole thing is taken from this child, even the soup that might be good for the child.
We are trying to teach our children nutrition. I'm trying to make myself as clear as I can, Phil. I've known you to be an intelligent man, but you're not getting what I'm saying. We're not making anyone go hungry. And
well, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong.
We're not making anyone go hungry.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're serving lunch. If the kids bring their own lunches from home, which they can do, and nutritionally they're not up to snuff, you take them away. How many lunches do you take away?
What do you mean, how many lunches do I take away?
How many lunches of, let's say, 100% of lunches that are brought from home, how many get confiscated?
It's a pretty high number, because the parents don't get it.
How many?
Probably upwards of 80%, 85%.
85% of the lunches the children bring from home are taken from these children, laid out, as you say, in a buffet.
You know, please don't lean on that buffet too heavy.
Well, you're putting it in a buffet, are you not?
Yes, I am, but I certainly don't appreciate being yelled at.
I apologize. You're putting it in on a buffet. You're putting it on a buffet for the other teachers, correct?
That is correct.
And you eat it?
We do if it's something that we want to eat, but if it is something that you're not going to be able to actually get down your throat, because, again, this is food that is brought in by these kids from their homes, and it can be something reasonably tasty, or it can be something that you can't even get down your throat. And I'm putting it as polite as I can.
And if you can't get it down your throat or eat it, it gets thrown away?
Yes. Yes. For the fifth or sixth time, yes.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. I when we get back, I'm going to really have to begin to ask some questions here, because I said to him, you know, these are lunches that are prepared by the parents. The kids bring them to school. And now all of a sudden, guess what? Well, if we don't think it's good enough, your kid doesn't get to eat it. It gets either thrown away, or now Dr. Tarner takes it to the teacher's lounge, and they have it in a buffet. So eating the lunch are the teachers. Is this protecting kids' nutrition, or is it just stealing? Are they protecting the nutrition of children, or are they just stealing from them? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. Here we are talking to Dr. Ron Turner, and we're talking about school lunches. And across the country, a new phenomenon has arisen, and that is the schools are literally confiscating the lunches of children, and they're saying, no, you eat these lunches that we've prepared. They're nutritionally better. They're taking away the lunches that you have prepared for your child at home. Now, in the case of where you teach, Dr. Turner, which is at the Cloverdale Middle School and Elementary School, the child is allowed to eat the home lunch if it passes nutritional muster. Now, who does the inspection of these lunches?
I want to make a point first, though. And
I would appreciate if you just answer my question.
No, sir, I'm not going to. I want to make a point that during the commercial break, while after you had lectured me, and I think rudely in some instances, Phil, I noticed that on your videocast, you're watching a Nazi propaganda film. And I have to ask myself, is this where you're getting your technique in questioning me from these Nazis? Boy.
No, that's not. You know, you can turn the tables all you want, okay? And I know that everything that a conservative thinks is Nazi, and everything that a conservative is Nazi, but that's not going to work here.
Well, I'm telling you that when the children bring their lunches, we inspect them, and we look at different foods. For instance, we'll look to see if there is a brownie.
Do you confiscate that?
No, actually, in the case of a brownie, we don't, because I'm allergic to chocolate. I know some of the teachers are, but if you look...
So you're looking at this stuff just to see if it's stuff that you want to eat?
No, sir, that is not... That is almost slander. And
well, Dr. Turner, you're dancing around the subject. What are you taking from these children's lunches? If you disallow a lunch and that child is not allowed to eat any of that lunch, what are you, in point of fact, looking for? Do you have the requirements? Do you have the qualifications to judge the nutrition of a child's lunch?
Mr. Hendry, I am a doctor of astronomy. I have an 8-year doctorate degree. I have my Ph.D., I think I'm smart enough to know whether a child has brought slop from home to eat. I think I'm smart enough to know whether or not a child has brought from home food that would gag a road possum.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to go to a phone call now. This is Michelle in Palm Springs, California. Go ahead, Michelle. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, my question was with them taking the food that was purchased from the parents at home, and that becomes
yes,
a buffet lunch for the teachers. Then
that's
they said
correct,
they
yes.
give them a half portion of a cafeteria lunch that they value as nutritional. Are those
yes.
children charged for that lunch at the school?
Yes, on that particular day, because they brought in a substandard menu.
So you eat their lunch, you give them a half portion, and they're still charged.
Yes, they are. And it's only fair, because there are some students and their parents who have gotten on the normal program and are doing what we expect of them. You can hardly expect us to give away free lunches to a child whose parents have decided that they're above the nutritional knowledge of the district and above the ability of the district to provide for their child in ways that they can't. I'm sure you understand that, don't you? To the lady at Palm Springs, do you understand that or don't you?
Yeah, and I have one more question.
Do you understand it? I want to hear it clearly.
Don't tell my callers what to
yes,
say or
I
do.
I understand that you're saying that you do charge them for the lunch,
very
even
good.
Though their parents have purchased the lunch and sent them to school with it. And my other
that
question was, in this bag of lunch that they bring, if they made a tuna sandwich on white bread, and they had an apple in there, and then they had this macaroni and cheese that you seem to disagree with, would that whole lunch be confiscated, or would you deem a tuna fish sandwich and an apple okay? Or does that go on buffet for the teachers?
Well, I noticed a little sarcasm in your voice, so I don't know how.
No, I'm asking a question.
The tuna fish would be confiscated because of the white bread. And because of the white bread as well as the macaroni and cheese, it breaks down the entire nutritional quotient of that meal to unacceptable levels.
Would you leave the child the apple?
No, the entire meal, therefore, on average, it's...
So the child doesn't get the soup or the apple?
What soup?
Well, when I talked about another meal, and I said, what if the kid brought in a thermos of soup?
No, the entire meal's quotient goes down. Therefore, that goes up to the teacher lounge. And the child is then separated out and put into what we call their A-B lines. They go into the B line.
The B line is what? The half?
Half lunch. Anything else? Okay, great.
So then the teacher chooses the apple.
We have to break.
And...
Yeah, the teachers will have that food to eat.
Yes, that's right. That's for the night time.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead and say it with a real ad.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Dr. Ron Tarner, who has been substitute teaching at elementary and middle school in Cloverdale, Colorado, outside of Denver, which is where the Mountain Meadow Observatory is. I've got to tell you something, Ron, and you will not like this, but when you're teaching for a school that has a school lunch that they require the children to eat, if their home lunch does not meet nutritional standards. So a mother that sends a child out of the home in the morning with a lunch that she made with love in her heart, and she has the very best intentions for her child. There's no one that has better intentions for a child than a loving mother. She doesn't know whether that lunch is going to be served to her child. It's going to be confiscated. And what would you say, therefore, when I say that that is nothing more than thievery?
Well, you know, Phil, you could be melodramatic and put any name you want on that. All right?
You are taking these lunches from these children and putting them on a buffet for the teachers.
We are putting them on a buffet because we don't want them to go to waste. We would much rather that someone eat them. The child cannot eat them. We had a young man who, his parents are very wealthy. Well, he came to school with lobster tail that they'd had at a restaurant the night before. I took that away from him. Now, you, Mr. Hendry, and others would say, that's a seafood that's healthy. No, it isn't. It is high in cholesterol.
So who ate it?
That's not the point of who ate it.
Who ate it? Did the teachers eat it?
We did put it on. Obviously, you're going to put that on the buffet. Do you think I'm going to throw that in the garbage?
Let me ask you something. Why don't you...
You're going to hear your voice cracking because you are so emotional.
Let me deal with that. Why don't you give this food at least to a homeless shelter? If for no other reason than to say, if we're taking it from these children, let's give it to some people that need it.
Because, boy, you are, excuse me for saying this, Phil, you're very slow on the uptake. Because the food is nutritionally substandard. So we eat it. You think that I want to eat it? No, I do not want to eat it. I don't want a heart attack. I don't want a stroke. But if someone sends their child to school with a cream-based dessert or lobster tail, things that you might think are great, I have to eat that. Otherwise, some child will eat it, and we've got a 300-pound 12-year-old. No, thank you. I'm not going to be responsible for that.
877-876-7445. A lot of parents are checking in on this very, very vital topic. Here is Crystal in St. Louis, Missouri. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Crystal, go ahead, please.
Yes, I was just
wanting to ask you, where's the children's rights at?
Exactly.
The children's rights are being protected by the school, which is telling the parents, you need to serve your child better food, and not this stuff that would, you know, that would gag a buzzard.
But that's not up to the school. I think that's up to the parents.
This is exactly our point that we're trying to make here, Ron.
Yeah, I got you on that, Phil. You, ma'am, let me say this again. Do you want your child to have the best nutrition? Yes, you do.
But what if the parents don't
want the child to have the best nutrition? Are you saying that the parents want to injure that child? Well, now we're into a very serious topic. But if the parents want the best nutrition for that child, and they send the child to school with a lunch that is loaded down with cream, buttered-based dishes, and it's not healthy for a child, that will be taken from the child, put in the teacher's lounge for our buffet, if we want to touch it, if we want to go near it, and if not, then it gets thrown into a dumpster.
I guess the righteous go out the window then.
What is that, the righteous?
They should have the right to eat anything they want.
Exactly. Don't these children have the right to eat the lunch from home?
No, not if it's going to kill them. Not if you're feeding that child cream-based desserts.
No. I don't think tuna fish is that bad.
No, tuna fish is not that bad. You said that you would not feed that, you'd not let that child have that sandwich because it was white bread, right?
Yes.
Well, then why not remove the bread?
Oh, are you kidding? So the kid's going to eat the tuna fish with what? With his shirt?
All right. Crystal, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here about child nutrition. Here's Beth in North Carolina. Beth, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I was in public schools for 15 years. And
yes, ma'am.
The stuff that's in the teacher's lounge and on their desks, all the candy, the M&Ms, maybe we need to start looking at the teachers, and they need to be examples.
No,
because they're eating the whole time they're teaching.
We're ostracizing
these little children. And, you know, they're happy. Even, you know, people don't have a lot of money.
The food they're bringing in from
home. And you're eating it. And you really pay
it's
for
slop.
It. If you're going to eat it, you need to pay for it. Somebody had to pay
for
money
what?
For it. You need to pay them. You need to pay the families. You are really,
no, ma'am,
I'm very disappointed in you. I can't even believe.
Let me ask you a question.
Let you substitute
are you telling me? Are you telling me that I've got to pay for something that could poison me or kill
me? Yes, sir, telling you, if I send a lunch to school for my child, I bought it, I paid my money for it. If you're going to take it away from my youngin, you better pay me exactly what I sent.
Bam.
Let it go back
home. The food
that
you have sent your child.
Let them eat it at home. Do you know how many children don't have things to eat? What's wrong with you?
Yes, your child is not eating the right thing. So your child is right in with that group of people. And I'm saying that you're telling me I have to pay you so I can eat the food that
you're
going to
eat my child's
child,
food, you better pay me money.
It's going to give me a stroke. It's going to give me a stroke, and I have to pay for a stroke.
How much do you weigh? I mean, how's your cholesterol?
Well, that's the point that I'm making.
You're so redundant. You're saying one thing and you're doing another. What an example you are.
That's hypocritical, but it's not redundant.
You're a hypocrite then.
Would be even teaching.
I'm asking.
I cannot believe.
I
don't agree. Pay these people money. We don't have money.
You haven't listened to a word
I'm saying. Bad. Home for dinner.
The reason why we took the food away from the child,
I'm so tired of listening. You keep saying the same thing over and over. You have a buffet every day at lunch.
Yes,
see teachers shove M&Ms, candy bars, all day long in front of these children, and the kids, they don't get to eat it.
Beth, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask you a question, Beth. Where are you seeing this? Do they have the candy in front of the children on the desk in the classroom,
yes,
or do they
sir.
Have this
yes,
candy?
Yes, sir. They have candy bars in the drawer. They have all sorts of baskets in the teacher's lounge that parents bring.
I'm supposed to starve then. That's the, what the lady wants me to starve? Is that what she's saying?
No. No, nobody's asking you to starve. Why do you put this in front of those children? Why do you put candy in front of those kids? Why do you put M&Ms in front of those kids? And then you say, oh, you better have a healthy lunch. Let me see what you got there. I've got to take that, and I got to put that in the teacher's lounge for a buffet.
Otherwise, the children eat it, and the children grow up to be 168,000 pounds before they're 15. You want that? You don't want to see that. It's not pretty.
How much do you weigh? I mean, I'm not being ugly. How much do you weigh?
You're not being ugly?
What's your cholesterol? Don't.
I weigh 300 pounds. I weigh 300 pounds. So I know what I'm talking about.
Well, then, honey, you need to take the stuff out of the
300 pounds.
Put apples.
300 pounds.
And let
I'm
teacher,
not going to eat anything.
If the teachers aren't,
said,
if they don't have good nutrition, they can't teach. They cannot
right.
be at the top.
Right. And the teacher has taken that macaroni and cheese that you don't want the child to eat. Do you eat that?
Yes, I do eat the macaroni and cheese because it has meat in it. So, I think it's so hypocritical that, yes, I'm 300 pounds, so I know what's going to kill me, and I eat it anyway. You know, she just laughed.
You are making yourself look really bad. The more you talk, the worse you sound. I hope nobody that you know is listening to you.
Why is Mr. Hendry showing film footage of a cattle drive? I'll tell you why. It sounds innocuous, and yet where do those cattle go eventually? They go to a slaughterhouse where they're made into steaks. So Mr. Hendry is showing footage of a cattle drive.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for letting me say my piece.
Thank you very much. It was very, very kind of you to call.
I think he's crazy. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. I don't show any kind of cattle for that reason. Okay.
I know under the auspices of some idea of showing a Nuremberg documentary, but I just saw a cattle drive, didn't I?
That was cattle. It was cattle. It wasn't a cattle drive, and it's not to make people think about steaks. Okay.
Kansas City steaks.
What?
Kansas City steaks.
First of all, let me ask you a question here, Ron. I just want to be clear. If the kid came to school with a Kansas City steak, would you take that away?
If it had that yes, if it had...
Why?
Oh, what do you mean? If it had that sauce on it.
If it was just a steak.
If it was just a steak.
Yeah.
Well, no one sends their kid to school with a steak.
Now, if they sent their kid to school with a Kansas City steak...
No one is going
to... Yeah, you know what? You don't want to answer that question because a steak is a very healthy thing to eat. A steak is an extremely healthy thing to eat, especially if the fat's trimmed off of it. It's great, solid protein. It's absolutely fantastic. But you'd take it anyway, wouldn't you?
You're not going to let a steak go to some kid when you know there's something wrong with it. I don't know what it is. Probably it's too rare.
877-876. Oh, man, I can't even spit out the phone number. 877-876-7445. Dustin in Vidalia, Georgia. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yeah, I got a question for him. I want to know, if you're teaching nutrition, I know the old saying is, do what I say, don't do as I do. But you are being a hypocrite. What if the police took drugs from drug dealers and used them themselves? What kind of example is that setting? The second thing I want to know...
It would depend on why they're doing it. Are they doing it because they don't want the drugs to go back out of the street?
It's all right for the police to do it, as long as the drugs don't go back on the street. Man, I'm glad you don't live in Georgia.
They'll destroy the... But here's the thing about food. Somewhere, that food can help someone. Drugs don't help anybody. There's no place where drugs help. So the food can help a teacher. The food can help... I'd like to think it'll help the homeless, but I don't want to give them the something that some woman made for her fat kid.
Boy, you are really... You know, there's a lot of hostility going on there.
No, there is not.
Yeah.
Sir, for her fat kid...
Oh, well, what I'm looking at is, I'm like the woman from before. I work hard for my money. I'm actually on the way home from working a second shift at a job.
You're like a woman? What? You said you're like a woman?
No.
He said he's...
The woman that just called.
Uh-huh.
The woman that just called before me.
You like her?
And... Excuse me?
Did you say that you like... It sounded like you said you feel like you're a woman.
No, I said I like what the woman said before. If I work hard for my money and I send food to school with my youngin' and you take it from them and eat it from them, you're going to answer to me or pay me. That's just another prime example of this government and these officials thinking they're smarter than everybody. And look where the government and the daggum states and United States is going to crap. Whenever you actually sit there and think that you know better than the own mother or father that has raised a youngin, just because you have this degree and that degree and this degree, and you're sitting there weighing 300 pounds and eating this youngin food, well, I mean, you can't honestly think you're right.
The reason why I said what I said is because I know what bad food could do to you, and I'd much rather eat that food that will give that child a stroke. I'd rather have the stroke so that that child could grow up to be healthy.
Oh, sure.
Why don't you just
it's so funny.
I appreciate you.
Why are you laughing?
I appreciate. Because
why you laugh?
Listen to yourself. I appreciate you want to save these kids. Well, why not throw the food away and save yourself and the kid?
Because there may be something there that's edible. It's not often we find anything that's... some of the other teachers may like it. And let's keep this in mind. This man has done nothing but laugh at me. I'm 300 pounds sitting here.
You're 300 pounds sitting there what?
I put my... You know, a lot of people say they put their life on the line. I put my fat on the line to teach these people about how to make a kid more healthy. And the first thing you do is make a good lunch.
And let you eat the one that they couldn't get through.
And let me eat the one that what? No. I said if they make a good lunch for their kid, I won't eat it.
Can I ask a simple question?
Yes, sir.
A simple question. When you went to school and got your doctorate and you got an education to teach kids, did you go to school to teach nutrition, or did you go to school to teach them how to grow up and be adults?
I went to school to study astronomy, and I studied astrophysics.
Okay.
Astrophysics.
So now you're a nutritionist.
I could care less about kids. I don't understand your question. I didn't even want to teach
kids.
Well, by trade, sir, I'm an astronomer and astrophysicist. I work at Mountain Meadow Observatory, but I was pressed into service as a substitute teacher because of the cutbacks at the state level.
So you don't even like kids.
I love my son, but most kids are irritating, yeah. But I can...
Well, then what are we even talking about, man? And you're sitting there eating their lunch?
I'm eating their lunch. So in other words, when they come to school, I grab the lunch away from them, and I run, and I eat it behind a building or a dumpster.
Well, that's what you're making it sound like, you know.
Well, you're the one that's sitting there watching the Nuremberg war crime trials. Can you believe this? Who of the gentlemen that I'm talking to? Is it Dustin? Mr. Henry's been sitting there watching Tojo. He's watching Tojo movies from 45.
That's got nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it most certainly does. Because if I care about kids enough to make sure they've got good nutrition, and you're telling me what to do while you sit there giggling at Tojo, what is that about?
You know what, man? You are way off the beaten path here. I'm taking the side of these parents. Government, government, government. Sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong. Telling parents they don't know how to make a lunch. Telling parents they don't know how to take care of their own children. Telling parents they don't know anything about nutrition. Telling parents that your lunch that you made, no good. We will make the lunch for the child. And the one that they brought, we'll put it at a buffet table for the teachers.
For a lousy couple of bites of...
All right. Anyway, thank you very much, Dustin, for your call. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are talking to Ron Tarner, who in that last segment admitted that he's 300 pounds, that he doesn't know anything about nutrition, he's an astrophysicist, that he is sacrificing basically himself so that the kids don't get the stroke. He will, by eating the macaroni and cheese, the lobster tail, the Kansas City steak, and the cream-based desserts that your kid comes to school with. Man. 877-876-PHIL.
Laugh now, Mr. Henry, because I really believe karma is a bitch.
877-876-7445, Phil. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I'm telling you, karma's a bitch. We'll be right back.
the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And on the line is Dr. Ron Turner as we finish up our interview with him in this segment. Next hour, of course, we have our News and Information Hour. And Dr. Turner, you know, taking this food from these children is one thing. Not giving it to the homeless, that's the part that I don't understand. If you're going to take the food away from these kids, you know.
So, giving it to the homeless and giving it to those people, do you understand the salaries that we make as teachers are not that high? And there are days that, yes, I'm not asking you to care. I'm not asking your audience to care. But I'm going to make this statement. There are days where I am literally weak from hunger. And that pie and that soup that kid brought in, and I could barely stand. And
you're 300 pounds.
I got to be 300 pounds when I made money, when I had a decent living. Now I don't make a decent living.
You got to be 300 pounds and you made a decent living. All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Kyle, go ahead. Kyle calling from Hawaii.
How you doing, Phil? This doc, fine. Whatever his name, he sounds like
that's
a phony.
I'm
sorry to say, why would you take the kid the food out of their mouths? And you say you're an astrophysicist? I doubt it very highly.
It's garbage.
And it's garbage. Get off the phone, Phil. I just want to make a comment. This guy is wrong. He must be a Republican, and he must be a Bush person also. I'll see you and speak about
Actually, you got all of that wrong because the guy's very much a liberal. Thank you very much, though. Here is Barbara. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Barbara, go ahead.
No, I'm not a liberal.
I have a question to this gentleman. You're saying about nutritionists, food being taken away from the kids. You have yet to mention the curriculum. What type of curriculum do you have at that school? The other thing, I have a suggestion for you because I'm a former teacher. I have a suggestion for you. As parents,
I don't know what
Phil
curriculum
Henry.
Is. What?
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
The problem is if I don't win, the Republican Party would be hurt, and I hate the concept of
look,
that.
Look, I think it's a matter of patriotism here as well.
Well, it if tells you me that he knew the area. He knew that an area where not
like, oh, my God, I hope the teacher knew what she was doing.
The Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
I was a sucker.
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. Well, every night we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We go places other talk shows don't have the guts to go to. We go places other talk shows don't have the talent to go to. We go places other talk shows just they got to stay clear of it, okay? We're not going away. We're not going anywhere. We are here to remind talk radio, radio in general, media in general, what our job is, primarily, number one, all the way, baby. What is our job? That is to inform and entertain. That is to keep our audience abreast of what is going on, if you'll pardon the term, breast. And to keep on keeping on in the name of basic, decent American values. All right, another poll, another surprise showing for Donald Trump. Is he the man to beat Obama? This is our News and Information Hour. Joining me is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
I'm doing real good.
Yeah, pretty good.
And we will be weighing in, the guys and myself, on a number of different topics. For those of you who are watching our Phil TV in HD on our website, philhenryshow.com, we are rolling here in the background using the special Phil TV HD special effects. A film called Battle of Britain. So while you hear us talking about contemporary news, you're seeing Spitfires shooting German Junkers out of the sky. It's a groovy thing.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy what they're doing.
Very, very cool. All right. It's pretty weird, too, but, you know, we got tired of rolling CNN, you know.
Yeah, really not a lot in the news tonight, but we'll keep our eye out, see if there's going to be another Putsunami.
Oh, that Putsunami, you know.
When are you going to learn how to pronounce that, man?
That's a hard one, though.
No, it ain't a hard one, man. I know it starts with a T, bud, but it's T-S, tsunami. Just don't pronounce the T. Just a silent T.
I understand that.
You know how, like, La Jolla?
Yeah.
How do you think they spell that?
Well, I know.
J-O-L-L-A. Silent L's.
Well, not really.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're pronounced like a Y.
Okay, yeah, it's not silent L's. It's pronounced like a Y. In any event, man, it's one of those weird things in language. You can't explain it. We don't know why. It just is. That's where it's at. That's the way it's going to be. Thank you and good night.
Garbage.
I don't want to talk about it. All right, anyway, welcome to the show. Again, you can join us at our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass because it allows you to listen to a podcast of this show tomorrow. You can hear our classic Phil podcasts. You can hear thousands of hours of archive material. You can watch our Phil TV in HD webisodes on a five-day archive. You can access it, for instance, tomorrow morning. Whether you have an iPhone or a Droid, you can also look at either the live streaming or the on-demand video, as well as all the other audio content. It's really fantastic. And again, for those of you with iPhones, you have to get download the Skyfire browser. That is the Skyfire browser if you have an iPhone. If you have a Droid, there are a number of options for you to utilize to get the streaming video of our show. It's well worth it. It is in high definition. And it's just a beautiful thing, man. It is without question. Not only do we have the greatest radio show, we have the greatest video content. And when I say we're not going anywhere, we're not going anywhere because the fact of the matter is, talk radio is just in it's not good. It's in big trouble. You know, and so we need shows like ours more than ever before. We need shows like this. We need Bubba. We need Howard. We need, I don't know, but we need it, and she needs it, and she's going to get it.
Yeah.
All right. Our first story here of the evening is a story of liberalism gone mad. This is a story of certain individuals in the liberal movement who have decided to fully lose their minds. This is a story that is entitled UN document would give Mother Earth the same rights as a human being. Okay? Now, the first thing when Rick Sanchez saw that was,
I was a sucker.
Because he signed the petition.
Really?
No, not really. Anyway, Bolivia this month pushes a draft United Nations treaty giving Mother Earth the same rights as humans, having just passed a domestic law that does the same for bugs, trees, and all other natural things in the South American country. As you know, Libya is very, very high, the altitude very high, and because of the thin air, nobody thinks or sees too clearly. Nazis abound. Yes, that's right, the Odessa used to dump off Nazis by the ton in that country, and now they've gone completely stark raving mad, giving bugs voting rights.
Well, let me see that.
Don't grab it out of my hands, man, I'm kidding. The bid aims to have the UN recognize the Earth as a living entity that humans have sought to dominate and exploit. Oh, will you people get a grip? Bolivia. I got something and I don't know what has happened, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just tell you this. Americans have so far outpaced the rest of the world in terms of our progress that we've made with our society, that we feel a natural guilt that we basically represent the highest point of that arc in human development. And we feel kind of guilty about that, so we have assigned to other countries a sort of equal status in terms of achievement. And we get together there in the United Nations, and we rub elbows, and we say,
hey, how you doing, Bolivia? Yeah, great. Yeah, wow, this is fantastic being a developed country, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's great.
When in point of fact, Bolivia probably has some of the most disgustingly vile and crime-ridden slums. There must be poverty there, the likes of which, I bet you they eat themselves. There's no, the cannibalism there, it's not just the baby. They go ahead and they start gnawing on their own hands. Now, do I know anything about Bolivia? No, but I've got money. I got big money that says that that's probably true about that country. How do I know? Because every country in the world is like that, with little exception. Now, why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing it up for this reason. I don't believe any country that has problems like that has any right at all, any moral right at all, any moral superiority or supremacy at all, to start going on about Mother Earth is a living thing and we've exploited and dominated her. Now, I don't know. I was in Miami at a Buddhist convention several years ago. That's right, I went to a Buddhist convention. And so...
you got to be putting me on, man. Did you go and worship at Buddha and all that stuff?
Yeah, did you worship at the foot of Buddha?
Will you shut up? And while I was there, I met the Buddhist contingent from Brazil. Very nice people, very happy people, very, you know...
How come they got all Buddha down there?
They got Buddhism in Brazil because of Japanese growers and planters had moved in there at the turn of the 20th century. A lot of the Far East had a great deal of influence in Brazil, the Japanese especially, and they brought with them Buddhism, and the Brazilian, many of the Brazilian people embraced that. They're a fun-loving and, you know, great people, and we know the strides that Brazil is making in terms of their economy. But we also know that Brazil has some of the most disgusting crime, child murder, child abduction and murder, roving bands of children that are starving, that have no home, that have been orphaned for years, fending for themselves in the streets and the ghettos and the dank, stinking alleyways of Rio de Janeiro and other cities like that, and they deign to call themselves equal to our country. They deign to say that they've got it kind of all figured out the way we do, like they got it going on like we do. Give me a freaking break.
Yeah, but there's people that are poor here too.
There's people that are poor in America. There's no question. There's poor people, all right? But we don't have poverty to the point where we have roving bands of children who've been living on their own for years, who have formed mini societies that are being murdered by rogue bands of cops. I mean, this is what they got. You know, I wouldn't want to go out at night in Rio, man, if across the street they were giving away gold doubloons. I wouldn't want to cross the street in a place like that. So when you've got those kinds of problems to deal with, you have no right to stand up anywhere and start talking about, I mean, you may have a right as a member of the United Nations to say, well, look, this is what my country feels that would be the very best thing for us and for the region because of this and that. And that's fine, but you have no, what I call, outer space rights. You have no rights to be way out there. You have no rights to be hippy-dippy, outer space, real, woo, you know, space cadet-y. We're from Bolivia, and we're going to go in and do the groovy vote here on whether the Earth is a living thing. No, 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 you don't get to. Why not? Because you've got children that are, you've got people that are practicing self-cannibalism, you know. They're not living in, you have people that are living in toilets, you know. It's the only place left to live in Bolivia is a toilet for the poor. Go fix that, then you can come back up here and vote on all this other hippy-dippy, wicky, wacko stuff.
Wiki wacky.
Right.
Ain't that a religion, the wiki wacky? Or is that...
No, man, it's Wicca.
I ask you, man.
He's right, it's Wicca. It ain't wiki wacky. Where'd you get that?
That's what I thought it was called.
You're nuts, man. It's called Wicca. It always has been, always gonna be.
Well, we don't know what it's gonna be called, but in any event, what am I getting sidetracked for? You understand what I'm saying here? So now here it is. The wording may yet evolve, but the general structure is meant to mirror Bolivia's law of the rights of Mother Earth, which Bolivian President Evo Morales enacted in January. That's great, Evo. What else you got going on down there in Bolivia, man? Have you helped to pick the streets up and clean them up? And oh, man. Anyway, it's some kind of a whacked out thing. It's really grooviosity, and I'm all in favor of it. I grew up with hippies. And I grew up with the entire concept of the Earth is a living thing. And, you know, it's our sister. And, you know, the great line from The Doors, when the music's over, our sister Earth, and, you know, tied with fences, blah, 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 blah. But I, folks, you know, the time has come, said the whatever the hell said it in that Mother Goose thing. The time has come for us to grow up a little bit, especially you baby boomers out there. And we have already done a lot of damage as an egotistical and stupid generation of people. So let's get everybody back on the right path. We'll start evolving these far out laws about Mother Earth and everything else, man. And we can start wearing, you know, pointed hats and growing our hair, whatever we want to do. after we get the other problems, like, you know, somebody living in the gutters of Bolivia or elsewhere or Brazil or somewhere, and they have nothing to eat. Let's start figuring these things out. All right, I'm sorry to have to lecture.
No, it's pretty right. I'm going to look on YouTube, see if I can find some poverty video of Bolivia, just in case you're wrong.
What do you mean, just in case I'm wrong?
Well, what if you are wrong and Bolivia's like heaven on earth?
Well, then we'll just pretend like we were talking about another country. I don't know. We'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Some high school students love their I Heart Boobies bracelets, and now a judge says their schools can't do anything about it. That's great. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. New T-shirts are in. Go to our website to get the new Phil Hendry official colors, otherwise known as a T-shirt. Check out our archives at philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
What, bud?
I got the information now.
All right, well, and then we're going to get to the story about this bracelet. Our number, our show is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. Join us in our march as we move toward the ever inexorable success of our country, blah, blah, blah. Yes. No, I'm being glib. But I mean every word of it. Now, what did you find out, bud?
That the people of Bolivia, that there's 59% poverty.
59% poverty in Bolivia. Yeah! Nice job, man. And you cats are rapping about, Mother Earth has her rights. What are you doing? I'd fire a guy like that. If there was a guy in my employ, as this president is in the employ of the Bolivian people, this Evo Jackball, whatever this guy's name is, and he was fooling around with some statement that said Mother Earth is a thing and we need to really respect her, while 59% of my people were living in poverty, that cat would be fired. What are you doing?
I thought I'd just come up with a statement. Did you see what's going on out here?
Well, I know. There's hungry people out there, man. And you're knitting a dress or something?
No, it's just something from my head because it gets cold.
You're fired. And we don't say anything. America says nothing. Why, bud?
Because we're afraid.
Because we're afraid that they're going to start leveling the charges of Yankee imperialist, Yankee colonialist. Yes, it's easy for you to say. You guys went out and you ripped everybody off. Well, I got news for you, Bolivia. In this world that we share, you know, as the song says, them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose.
What song is that?
God bless the child. It doesn't matter what song. Now, Bolivia was a country founded by a European state, Spain. And whatever it was that Spain did or did not do for Bolivia is long since been water under the bridge. You guys are there. You're in a resource-rich and in a material-rich continent. Simon Bolivar is considered to be the George Washington of South America. You got a lot going for you. The only thing you ain't got, apparently, is enough brain power to figure out what your priorities are. So start feeding the people and quit screwing around with your jive ass. The earth is a living thing and we have messed it up. Love, Bolivia. Because if anybody's messed anything, I'll tell you what is also a living thing is a human being, and you ain't feeding your people.
Yeah, but that's because of the Yankee imperialism.
Oh, well, that's right. Judge rules it's okay for students to wear I Heart Boobies bracelets, meaning you like boobs. All right, a federal judge on Tuesday ruled that Pennsylvania middle school students, should be allowed to wear I Love a Real Beautiful Big Pair. No, it says should be allowed to wear I Heart Boobies bracelets, finding the breast cancer awareness slogan neither crude nor vulgar. The American Civil Liberties Union sued Pennsylvania's Eastern Area School District on behalf of two students who were suspended for a day and a half and banned from a school dance after they wore the Keep a Breast Foundation bracelet, the Keep a Breast Foundation bracelets in defiance of school policy. The ACLU argued the Easton Area Middle School, located about 50 miles north of Philadelphia, had violated the students' First Amendment rights to free speech by banning them from wearing the rubber bracelet. The ACLU, saying that the children's free speech rights extend through their parents, once again shoved their noses into the private affairs of a school, a family, and everyone else. The ACLU, as you well know, hated around the world. No, kidding. In an opinion handed down, and when I say handed down... They wiped with it first, then handed it down on Tuesday afternoon. U.S. Judge Mary A. McLaughlin, found the ban by middle school administrators on the popular rubber waistband was not supported by case law that allows school officials to restrict students' speech when it is lewd or disruptive. So, in other words, what the court ruled was, and I'll read here from Judge McLaughlin's opinion, the bracelets are intended to be viewed as speech designed to raise awareness of breast cancer and to reduce stigma associated with openly discussing breast health. So she found the Eastern Area School District failed to prove that teachers and administrators encountered a substantial disruption when students wore the bracelets in school. Meaning, free speech does not extend in schools to the point where it disrupts the normal atmosphere of scholarship and learning that must be present in a school. The Supreme Court has previously ruled saying that if a child's clothing, if a young person's wristbands or whatever causes such a disruption that the normal atmosphere of learning in a school is disrupted, then it is not protected speech and may be banned. But in this case, they said that this speech did not disrupt the normal academia there in a high school. In point of fact, it raised the students' awareness of a topic, breast cancer. So my initial reaction there when I went, middle school, I was very premature.
Well, but you should have said that, the people wouldn't have remembered.
Yeah, what are you talking about it for? People probably all forgot about everything.
Okay. Bud, where are you from originally?
California.
Well, you sound like, you talk like that, sound like Walter Brennan. God.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Where are you from in California?
Ojai.
Ojai. I don't know if they have a lot of... Who settled Ojai originally?
I don't know. Probably like the Swiss.
What do you mean the Swiss?
Yeah.
You asked me who settled. I don't know.
Well, then why'd you say the Swiss?
Because it could have been the Swiss.
Ojai, California was settled by the Swiss, huh? By the way, you know, Solvang, that ain't real.
Yeah, I know. You told us.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget PhilHenryShow.com, our website. Donald Trump's, he may be serious about running for president, but does he have a shot? Plus, a teen too fat to be an American Idol audience? That's right.
Phil
got kicked
Henry.
Out. We'll be back.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Now, this is not just a radio show. This is a multimedia experience. Our website is philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to our high-definition streaming video of the show, as well as our on-demand video of the show, as well as our archives of the audio of the radio show, and as well as our podcasts, our each-and-every-day podcasts that you sign up for through iTunes, as well as our classic fills, which are free. News feed, guaranteed email response. It's all there at philhenryshow.com because the times are changing, baby. And I got to tell you something. The way the radio business is going, you know, you may not have a radio station to listen to much. I shouldn't say that. Of course you will. But there's a lot of other places to get not only information but entertainment. So keep that in mind. Now, CNN poll finds that Donald Trump is tied for first in a GOP horse race. Did you think Donald Trump would be in the mix?
No, man. Everybody thought it would be Sarah Palin.
I didn't. No way did I think it was going to be Sarah Palin.
Yeah, you never believed in her, did you?
It's not that I don't like Sarah Palin. I like Sarah Palin. But there was no way on earth she was going to be the GOP nominee in 2012. No way on God's good green earth. And the liberals used to, they just cracked me up, man. Watching the liberals wetting themselves over Sarah Palin. Watching the liberals going ape over Sarah Palin. Flipping their lid. Morning, noon, and night. Talking all about it. Every day. Every time you turn around. Sarah Palin. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Donald Trump. Whoa!
Didn't see that one coming.
No, they didn't see that one coming. Now, I don't know whether or not the guy has a shot. He is, though, tied now with Mike Huckabee, or as he's called by Larry Grover, Huck, for first place when Republicans are asked who they support for the GOP presidential nomination in 2012, according to a new national poll. But while a CNN Opinion Research Corporation survey released Tuesday indicates that the real estate mogul and reality TV star has nearly doubled his support since mid-March, it doesn't mean he has smooth sailing ahead. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Donald Trump is asked if he'd consider a run as an independent if the GOP doesn't nominate him.
I'm thinking about that, and that's bothered me because I'm very conservative. Unlike if, as an example, Michael Bloomberg, if he ran, which I don't think he will, but if he ran as a Republican and didn't win, or if he ran as a independent, he would take tremendous numbers of votes away from Obama because he's on that side. I'm on the exact opposite side, and to be honest with you, I think it would be very, very bad for the Republican Party and a lot of other people because they did some polls recently where I hear I get 29% as an independent. That's a lot.
Yeah, he would strip away a lot of votes from the Republican nominee, and just as H. Ross Perot did in 92 by just carving up Daddy Bush's run, I mean, he left it for dead in the dirt. Same thing would happen here with a Trump candidacy. Trump says his third-party run... Well, that's what he just said. Bad for Republicans.
So I get all of these votes as an independent, and I could also possibly win as an independent. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. If I can't win, I'm not doing it for any other reason because I like winning. I do, you know, I'm only in it for one thing. And frankly, if I ran as an independent, I would, if I didn't win, be very negative to the Republicans.
Have you
and
heard?
That disturbs me.
Trump takes on President Obama in this clip.
The problem is if I don't win, the Republican Party would be hurt, and I hate the concept of that. Because I'd rather have any of these people than Obama. I think Obama's done a terrible job. I think he's been a terrible president. If you look at what's happened with this country in terms of not only debt, not only budgets and losing control of budgets, even this last weekend, I mean, he didn't control the process. The process was controlled by everybody else but him, and he just signed on at the end. If you look at Libya, I mean, we want Gaddafi out, but we don't want to hurt him. We want this, we want that. Nobody knows what he's doing, and it looks to me like Gaddafi might even stay.
Donald Trump, as we said, now tied with Mike Huckabee. I suspect the guy is tied with Mike Huckabee just because of the celebrity power. I don't know that Donald Trump's real policies or views as a conservative are known by anybody. They're not known by me.
Well, I mean, what's he stand for?
He says he's a conservative, so I'm going to have to believe that that means cut the budget. You know, take on the entitlements, take on Medicare, take on Social Security. At least that's what I think a traditional conservative would do. That's what I would like to see a conservative do. Not pussyfoot around with a lot of horse dung about how, well, we should cut here and cut there. These guys. Another thing that a real conservative would do in this particular case would be to continue to press the war on terror. Not get us necessarily involved anymore in any other military operations, least of all a war, an out-and-out war. Make sure that things are stable where we've been. But probably at this particular point, the American people are more in an isolationist mood than at any time since prior to World War II. I really honestly believe that. The American people are in an isolationist mood, the likes of which we haven't seen since World War II. That's number one. And number two, the American people are closer to destructive civil discord than we have been since the Civil War. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. We are at a point now where the civil discord in this country is so destructive and meaningless, we are close to that point we reached when the country finally just devolved into civil war. There may be some people that think that that just sounds really exciting and interesting and peachy keen. That'd be the end of the country. Because there's no such thing now, in any civil war that takes place in this country now, there'd be no such thing as a North-South. It would be ideologic only, no geographic boundary. And most importantly, the democracy that we have known and nurtured and loved would be over. Over! The reason for that would be simple. A martial law-style government would be imposed. And there would be the usual paranoid imbeciles that got us into the problem in the first place saying, see, see, I told you this would happen. Yeah, well, it happened because you kept running your big fat mouth and scaring everybody. That's why it happened. Talk about a self-fulfilling prophecy. The way we talk to each other now, the way that we deal with each other now, the way that we are discussing the future of the country now, it's never been more destructive. It's never been more meaningless. It's never been more pointless. It's never been more of a tail-chasing exercise. And the good people in this country, the people who are, you know, trying to get something done, man, they're getting drowned out. George Soros may be bad for this country. So's Bill O'Reilly. Both of those big mouths. All right. More than 4 in 10 Republicans say they would not like to see Trump toss his hat in the ring. More than 4 in 10, according to the CNN polling director Keating Holling. Now, CNN, you may think, is biased, but then I don't think CNN's any more biased than Rasmussen. This is a CNN Opinion Research Corporation survey released Tuesday. It indicates that the real estate mogul and reality TV star would have some rough sailing ahead. 19% of Republicans and Republican-leading independents questioned in the poll say that as of now, they'd be most likely to support Trump for next year's GOP presidential nomination. 19%.
Man, that's not going to win nothing.
No, it's not going to win anything. Trump says he'll decide by June whether he runs for the White House, and equal amounts say they'd back Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor in 2008, blah, 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 says he'll decide later this year if he can keep the weight off.
Yeah, that's another thing. What if he turns into that monstrosity?
I was just kidding, man. You think he's, Mike Huckabee looks good, man. He used to have that big weight problem, but I think he's all right.
Now he's just got the big wife, you know.
Is that a shot?
No!
Let's hope it isn't. 12% say they'd support former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, who was the party's 2008 vice presidential nominee, with 11% backing Massachusetts governor and 2008 White House hopeful Mitt Romney. Now, that really surprises me, man.
Why?
I would think that Romney'd be way up there. In fact, in some of these more recent polls that we have seen, and this is why these polls are so different, I think as of last week we had another poll that had Romney and Huckabee tied. Now, it could very well happen, and these things do change. With the drop of a hat, it could very well happen that Trump has made this run, that Romney is now like yesterday's news. I don't know. I always thought that Romney was the best choice, and I believe he should have been the party's choice in Republican Party's choice in 28. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, Romney. No way, man. Everybody loved McCain back then.
No, I know. I know. It would have been a big job. But I don't think that Huckabee came off looking good in the debates. I think Huckabee came off looking small, mean-spirited, insulting to Romney. Same thing with McCain. I think Romney was treated shabbily, and I think he came out at the end of it looking way better than either one of those clowns. And now they're just going to throw Romney to the wolves. And then, of course, we got Gingrich, who, what's the point, man? 7% say that they, 11% back Gingrich, 7% say they're backing Ron Paul. The Ron Paul movement is very interesting. It's very, very loud, and there's not a whole lot of them. What do you want me to tell you, okay? You got lots and lots and lots and lots of money and no people. I mean, what do you Ron Paul people want, man? What do you, you know, how do we explain it any better? I know. You think it's a big conspiracy, you know.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, the Ron Paul. Ron Paul's pretty good. I think I'd vote for him.
Ron Paul is a purist, a constitutional purist, economic, everything. He believes that government is something, it's almost like government is chemotherapy. I think Ron Paul sees government as a kind of chemotherapy, that whatever you apply government to, it's a poison that's going to kill everything it touches. And that government, if it's to be used, should be applied to something that is a real cancer, something that's a real threat to the body of the nation. That's the only time you apply government. But remember that when you do apply government, like chemotherapy, it's going to kill other things. That's what Ron Paul thinks. And it's a very, 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 very traditional conservative point of view. Now, I don't agree with Ron Paul when he says the following things. We have no right to go down and interdict these pirates in Africa. We had no right to send the U.S. Navy after them. We should use instead a warrant, something that it's a constitutional call, and we can use this in the Constitution. It's called a warrant that we actually pay a bounty hunter. The American government, and it's in the Constitution, according to Ron Paul, the American government pays a sort of bounty hunter whatever or whoever that may be, to go down and kill or otherwise take prisoner these, what the hell are they? These pirates. Last week, Jesse Ventura said he would consider getting back into politics if Congressman Ron Paul would run for president as an independent and would ask him to join the ticket. You know, I gotta tell you something, Ventura. Ron Paul he may be a long shot, and he may have a brand of a political philosophy that leaves a lot of people sort of scratching their head. But one thing Ron Paul ain't ever gonna do is put you on a ticket for president of the United States as a VP. Never gonna happen. I don't know what kind of smoke he's been blowing up your feathered boa. I don't know what kind of lies he's been telling you. I bet you Ron Paul's really nice to you, Governor. I bet you he just, yeah, it's real great.
Hey, Governor, Jesse Ventura here.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I had a couple of ideas.
Oh, really? Okay. You know, he's probably really polite to you, and he listens very, very kindly and nods his head, even while inside he's just screaming to get out, get away, get anywhere, get all the way to the FBI.
I knew he was going to do that.
That's right, though. And,
you know something, Governor, I think you really understand a couple of things. You know, I really believe that this thing that you...
Well, it's really nice, Jesse. Oh, God, someone get me out of here. I got enough problems, Jesse. They all think I'm a weird ass.
Yeah, but...
No. They think I'm a weird ass.
But, Governor, I think...
No, what do you mean, Governor? I'm not the governor. You are.
Oh, that's right.
I'm a congressman. I would run for president. But they're not going to elect me because they think I come from Mahars. Do you understand?
Yeah, but they're wrong. I think you're a regular guy, just like me.
Oh, you're a regular guy. Uh-huh. Jesse, you don't understand, man. We can't get elected. If we can get elected, I could get elected, but not with you. Maybe you could get elected, but not with me. The two of us together, we'd be like a science experiment from senior high school, you know.
Well, I think you're being, you know, I mean, look at half of these, look at Obama. Obama,
yeah, we can get into Obama, you know, we can talk about Obama if you want me, I'll buy you a drink, you know, but we ain't running for president or vice president. No way, no way, no way, my brother. That's what Ron Paul would say to Jesse Ventura, and then Jesse Ventura would pile drive him. All right.
You think he would?
No, I don't think he would. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show coming up next. Too fat for the American Idol audience? That's what one young female fan, his poor child, was told. You're too fat. Is that right? Get your BSP at philhenryshow.com. Our new T-shirts are in. Yes, the new Phil Henry Show T-shirts are in, along with, of course, the coffee mugs and our shot glasses and our legacy best of CDs. philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Music is too black.
Ah!
Shut up, man!
Don't say that. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Ever say that?
I'm just kidding.
I know you're kidding. You can't say it.
You don't like the music. It's too black.
Yeah, every time I... Can't we get some white man music? Shut up, man.
Easy, easy, easy. You know he's saying it on purpose.
You ain't funny, man.
Now, I'm going to tell you something here, because we had this discussion. I do have the story here about this team. I just want to, just very quickly. We had this political discussion off the air here during the break. So, it's 2005, somewhere in there, and I'm walking into Gelson's Market in Westlake Village, California. Why do I tell you what market I'm walking into? Because Gelson's is a high-end market. And why was I walking into one of these high-end markets where you can buy ounces of caviar and big, thick steaks? Well, times were good. Remember 2005? Well, as I was walking into the market, there's a guy standing there with a folding table, and on it is Lyndon LaRouche material. Lyndon LaRouche, the libertarian sort of... Lyndon LaRouche considered to be kind of a whack job, you know, by a lot of people. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't, I don't know. But these guys were there, and they were rapping all of this stuff about how Bush was this and Bush was that, and the war in Iraq was this, the war in Iraq was that. And I started to engage them in conversation, and one of them said to me, you understand that this is all a bubble. And I said, you mean the economy? Absolutely. It's a bubble, sir.
it has to eventually pop because the money ain't there. The money just isn't there. It's impossible. If you break the numbers down, it's impossible to believe. Now, I know that what I'm saying right now to a lot of you guys, you probably all had, I mean, I mean this. I don't mean to be sarcastic. There's a lot of you who probably did see what happened coming. You probably did. I didn't. I'm not what one would call the brightest bulb on the tree when it comes to economics. Although I will say, like a lot of you, I've learned a lot, you know. But these guys, these Lyndon LaRouche guys that I walked away from that day thinking, tut, 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 what a couple of screwballs. Now then, let me go and get my bottle of Cabernet, you know. And I walked out of the store that day and I kind of cast a glance over my left shoulder and just went, and got into my car, my luxury sedan, and drove off. But these guys, I think of often now. I really do. I think of those two guys. Now, Lyndon LaRouche, I ain't saying I'm going to vote for Lyndon LaRouche. Because there's a whole lot else going on with Lyndon LaRouche that I can't even say his name. It's like I've already had a bottle of Cabernet.
Yeah, Lyndon LaRouche. I can't say it neither.
You can't say nothing.
Lyndon LaRouche. In any event, I often think of those guys. It's a bubble. Because the money that is circulating in the economy right now, sir, there isn't as much money as would be, that one would expect to be there if all of these things could be paid for, you know, and all of these things can be supported financially. There just isn't the base. And, my eyes glazed over like yours would have, like many people's eyes would have glazed over. And I just said, no, pshaw, my good man. Tut, tut. And off I went into the ever-blinding future, the ever-dumber future of Phil Hendry. And, of course, then we all found out what we found out. So the moral of the story is he may be a nut and he may be a weird ass, but that guy standing on the corner with the bullhorn and the John 3:16 sign, maybe, you know.
Oh, you think the end of the world coming?
No. I don't buy that end of the world stuff at all. I buy the possibility that at times we can all be just a little too arrogant. Let's put it that way. All right, last Thursday night's American Idol delivered a shocking blow for contestant Pia Toscano, who was booed from the show, but the singer and her fans weren't the only ones left stunned that evening. Audience member Ashley Kaufman, age 19, of Riverside, claims she had a jaw-dropping moment of her own when Idol employees separated her from her friends because she was too heavy for the front row of the audience there.
Yeah, they'll do that, man. If you're fat and they don't think they can pan back enough.
What do you mean, pan back enough?
If they can't pan back enough and you're still taking up the screen.
Well, anyway, this poor girl, who's very pretty, and here's a picture of her here on the in the news story. There were two ladies, and one said, oh, I don't want someone wearing shorts in front about one of my friends. And then she looked at me and said, oh, no, you're too big, too heavy to be in front. I was taken aback by it. I was hurt. And that's when I hauled off and with a roundhouse right dislocated her jaw. I later found out that it was Paula Abdul, who now works as an usherette for American Idol. Thank you and good night, said Ashley Kaufman as she limped off toward her car. Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We'll see you tonight.
Phil Hendry.